today in that all man spot. So, but sometimes, you know, I believe that we can't get everything we need from listening to Pastor. Sometimes somebody else needs to come in and give you a different perspective on things. And I definitely have a different perspective on things. So that's where I come in today, to bring a different perspective on things and to kind of show you how God interrupted my life 8 years ago. 8 years ago, my life was interrupted completely from everything that I knew as a drug addict, as an alcoholic, as someone that was addicted to pornography. God interrupted. Yes, I use that word in church because it's a reality on your computer too. God interrupted my life and he changed my life. So today I want to talk about interruption. I want to talk about your life being interrupted from your routine. I've got some scriptures I'm going to read. I'm going to cover the text first and then we'll break it down. I read a little fast. I talk a little fast. I walk a little fast. In case you can't guess, I'm probably a Yankee. Should I ask for forgiveness now or you want me to wait till after the service? I am who I am and that's who I'm going to be. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3 verses 1 through 10 today though. I'm going to get through this and then we'll break it down. We'll get into it a little bit and talk about what this event brings to us. What this event brings to the table. See, because when we get into the Bible like this, this just isn't just a little story we're reading. This is an actual event that happened. This is something that actually happened that was worth putting into the Bible because it can impact our lives. And we need to, when we read the Bible, we need to look at it like that. This is actual events that happened that can impact our life and change our life for the better. Because see, God gave us his word to edify us, to correct us. Let me read Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I do. But what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? That guy was lame from birth. He'd never even walked. Now he's jumping, walking, and praising God. That's pretty awesome. You guys realize it's the same Jesus today that did this, don't you? He's the same God, has the same abilities. See, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. See, one of the first things that I recognized in this was that there was a couple of routines that they had. See, John and Peter had a routine. Jewish people have a routine. They pray three times a day. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham instrumented the morning prayer. Isaac the middle, and Jacob the afternoon, as I researched this. So they had a routine, a time of prayer. They were going to church. We have a routine, don't we? In the morning you get up, you brush your teeth. I don't comb my hair anymore, but some of you still do. You comb your hair. You get in your vehicle. You got a routine, don't you? You have a routine every day in your life, don't you? You get up in the morning. You get the kids ready. You get ready to head to work for that routine. There was another routine in this story too. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. See, that man had a routine too, didn't he? Every day he laid there. And he said, "Can you help a brother out? I need a little money to get by." See, he had a routine too. Routine is a very important part of our life, isn't it? God is a God of structure, right? Not a God of chaos. So routine's important. Really, really important. It is so funny that out of the first service this morning, I got a better response than second. Is there anybody in here from CR? Okay. I just wanted to make sure there were some folks in here. Okay, hold on. So you have a routine in your life. Yeah, I walk a little bit too. So if your eyes, if you can get my routine and my rhythm, you can follow me. Because I have a routine. But we all have a routine in our life. It's a very important part of life. A good routine. We get up, we go to work every day. We provide a living for our family. We provide a little bit to give here. We give God his. And we have a routine. So that's such an important part, isn't it? Without routine, what do we have? Complete chaos. Sleep till noon. Get up at 2 and I think, man, I ain't done nothing. And then the day's over and you done wasted everything with no routine. So we establish a routine in our lives. And it's important that we have that. Do you know that in life, though, we have to allow God to interrupt our routine? To pop our little bubble where we drive through the same 4 stop signs every day to go to work. We get to work. We talk to the same people every day. We go through the same routine every day with no change. No expectation of change. Because we're creatures of habit. And we don't want no one busting our bubble and messing up our routine. Because everything gets crazy when that happens, doesn't it? See, I like to do the grocery shopping in my house. So I have a routine. You guys will probably call me some other things when I tell you this. I like to start at the vegetable section. Then I go to the frozen food. Then I go to the canned. I have a routine in Walmart. I'm very routine when I shop. Well, my lovely wife made my grocery list this week. She started with the chips. Does anybody know where that's at in Walmart? It's the other end of the store. And then she put a head of lettuce. Man, I couldn't handle that. My routine was all screwed up. It was complete chaos. She wrote chips on there 3 times. So I go get a bag of chips, go get a head of lettuce, then I go back to the chips. So my routine is completely in disarray now. Praise God for my oldest daughter who said, that bag of chips is for my lunch, Daddy. That one's for sisters, and that one's for you, Daddy. So, but you know what I mean? We all have routines. We have a routine in our life. We do. So we need to be prepared for God to step in and interrupt our routine. See, because one day Peter and John were going up into the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They were going to church. They were going to get refilled, recharged, because you come to church to get refilled and recharged, right? Because this week has done beat you down, because life does that, doesn't it? You have one of those weeks where everybody around you is complete idiots. Oh, did I say that? My bad. I wasn't talking to none of you, though, okay? I was talking about the other guy that's not here today. Don't look at your neighbor and say, you? Golly, how inappropriate. By the way, I just am who I am. And we're just going to be real. I will not use the same words that I use on Friday night, though, because I'm not sure you could handle that. Because you might ask the pastor to please don't let him come up there again. I said crap first service. It was a horrible experience for me. I felt bad. What? You know, it's funny because a year ago, I could have never sat there quietly and just looked at you for a minute. And just stood here and said, you know what? I can see your routine. I see yours all the time, brother. I'm there with you. I can see your routine in the back. I see your routine. Did you know that God sees your routine too? But did you know that God has been trying to supernaturally intervene in your routine and break that for quite some time? There's been someone laying there that's been lame from birth that you've never even seen yet. You walk by him every time, or you're like me, and you walk by him and you try to give him a 20 and go on about your business because that'll fix it. This man didn't need money. He needed what you have inside of you, and his name is Jesus. What he needed is someone to stop and to reach down and to say, let me help you up, brother. And when he reached down to help him, he instantly was healed. He didn't need no money. Life ain't about that. We've got to break our bubble. Our routine is great, but God's trying to intervene in your routine. He's trying so hard to. On your way to work, on your way to church, you've passed that same lady walking. On your way to church, you see her walking. On your way home, you see her walking back carrying Dollar General bags. All she can do to carry those 6 bags, 3 in each hand. You don't want her in your car because she might smell bad. And that's the truth. Sorry, I'm just going to keep it real. She's dirty. She hasn't combed her hair in 2 weeks. So you don't want her in your car. But God says, she doesn't know my son. Can I interrupt your life for a minute? And you say, What do you say? I haven't always said yes, and I'd lie to you if I said I have. If God told me today to uproot myself and to leave, would I? See, but we have to determine if it's an interruption or a distraction. You know, the enemy wants to distract you, don't you? Because you have a purpose. You have a routine. Routine is good, right? The enemy wants to come in and distract you from your routine so you won't see God's interruption, so you'll miss that purpose. And we don't want to fall for those lies anymore. You know, when the phone rings and it is that person you should not be talking to and you're on your way to church, that's a distraction. Because they're pulling you away from God's house, your sanctuary. Because see, this is a sanctuary to me. Friday nights, we need a sanctuary. We need a refuge, a safe place where we can come and we can enjoy God's presence. I need a refuge. And the enemy wants to distract, so I can't do that sometimes. But sometimes God wants to interrupt. He wants to interrupt my routine. And I'm going to give you some reasons why here in just a minute. So we have to determine if it's an interruption or a distraction. 1 John 4:1 tells us, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Test it. Does it make any sense? Should you be doing that? Not everything is from God. There's a distraction and there's an interruption. And you have to learn to distinguish the difference in the two. The enemy has distracted me so many times it's not even funny. And sometimes the interruption can be such an inconvenience, can it? Doesn't it seem like it's such an inconvenience because your entire life gets turned upside down? Everything that you thought was life was a lie. And you had a good routine. Had a job, he was going to church, but it wasn't what God wanted for you. So he interrupted it. I want to read Matthew 4, 18 through 22. It's where Jesus calls Peter. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.'" "And at once, they left their nets and followed him." And at once, they left their nets and followed him. They had a routine too, didn't they? They were making a living, providing for their family, casting nets every day. That's hard work. They were fishing. They'd learned a trade, a skill. That's what they ate back then, fish and bread, wasn't it? Wasn't that it? That's what Jesus always fed everybody with, fish and bread. I've never really heard of much other food in there. But they had a routine, a good routine. They were going to work every day. And then everything got interrupted. And they left everything. What an inconvenience. What if God came to you? What if God came to me? And he said, "Jason, I need you to leave J&J Power Washing and Painting. Immediately, drop it. Take no more phone calls. Take no more jobs. And I need you to go to Africa and be a missionary, Jason." What? I'd say, "Robin, did you hear from God lately?" She said, "No, why?" I said, "Whew, good, me neither." And for the next 6 years, I'm going to battle that. Because God has built a business through me that helps people, that employs people. I'm able to tithe. I'm able to give to people that need things. So why would God ever call me to give that up? Because it's not about money. Because it's about reaching out into a world that's dying and hurting. And getting involved in people's lives personally is what it's about. See, on June the 11th of 2010, my life was interrupted. June the 11th of 2010. And I bet when I say this date, the man knows exactly who he is today. Because his life was also interrupted on that day. See, because I was at work that day, trying to make a living for the family, trying to do my routine, what was right. Going to work. Had on my tool belt, remodeling a house. See, God's given me an awesome business. I get to take old houses that look exactly like my life yet used to. In complete disarray. Complete chaos. Junk. Good for nothing. Just like my life used to be. And I get to go into that house and bring it back to life just like Christ did for me. That's an awesome job. That's a reflection of my life. And some days that's hard to see because when you go in that house and there's dog poo everywhere. And trash bags this deep in three rooms. And you think, man, another dump. How many times do you look at people and say, man, another dump? Jesus looks at us and says, hey, it's a work in progress. That's what he did for me. So I had to change my attitude lately and say, when I go into this house, I have to remember it just like my life. There was once a complete disarray, a complete dump. And by the grace of God, he put a little paint on me, put a little belly on me too. Did you notice? Took a little hair off. But you know what? That's okay, because that's who I am. He started on the inside of me when he interrupted my life. Just like I start on the interior of a house when I interrupt the life of that house. So on June the 11th of 2010, we're at this house and we're working 45 minutes or an hour away from here. And my phone rings. And I'm like, crap. I used that word second service too. Whoopsie. And my phone rings. And I said that probably, I might have even used a different word. Jesus still loves me. And if you got your little, never mind, I won't go there. So my phone rings and I answer it. And it's a dearly beloved brother of mine. He says, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready. Tools come off. You drop your tools. You get in the vehicle. You drive for an hour. You think that's an inconvenience to lose a day's wages? To leave that job standing when you have a deadline? It's a major inconvenience, isn't it? No. Do you know why? Because when I got to that house, and it's over here in Hilly Village. Anybody familiar with that area? I think there's a few drug dealers that live up there and stuff. It's a little rough part of town, I think. I might be wrong, but if I am, I've been wrong once before, my wife says. So I take off up that street, and I pull into his front yard, and I'm like, wow, the hair's already standing up on my arms, and go up to the front door, and the presence of God is so thick in that house. You ever been involved with somebody when it's God that's calling them, and there's no doubt about it? I've prayed with people where they've said a few words and forgive me of my sins, Jesus, I accept you as Lord. God called this man. He set this man aside, picked him up out of the miry clay and put his feet on something solid that day. I said, I'm not even sure I need to be here. You and God done took care of this. And we start crying. I'm a crier. I cry talking about it. It's okay. I didn't cry for a lot, many years in my life, I don't think. So I go in the house and Steve McKay sitting on the couch. June the 11th of 2010. And Steve's road has been like this. It ain't. He ain't always on the mountain. There's bumps in the road. But that day, Steve prayed to receive Christ. He did. So see, that interruption, that inconvenience, led to Steve's soul being saved. Had an eternal impact in someone's life. Are you willing to give up a day's wages? You know, when so many times when we, our lives interrupted and then we come into contact with Steve and then you see Steve stub his toe and make a bad choice and you're like, man, it wasn't even worth it. He ain't doing perfect. If you're looking for perfection in an interruption, you're mistaken because you ain't going to get it. There's still people. They're still going to make mistakes. Get involved. Don't get critical. Get involved. Don't be scared, because see, when that day, me and Steve became brothers. Do you know what brothers do? They get in each other's mess together. See, because if I'm having a bad day fixing to make a bad choice, I can call on Steve. See, because I didn't just go there that day and say a prayer with Steve. I got involved in Steve's everyday life. See, because that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to interrupt your life today. Today, he wants to interrupt your life. And from here on out, he wants to get involved in your everyday life. And sometimes it's going to be a major inconvenience. And you're going to say, oh, crap. Are you serious? And he's going to say, yeah. And don't say that word no more. But sometimes it is. It's an inconvenience. It was not convenient for Saul when he's headed on the road to Damascus. He had a routine. He was persecuting everybody. It was his routine. All of a sudden, he was blind for 3 days. You think that was inconvenient to be blind for 3 days? Go up there and go in that room and some dude going to pray with you and you'll be all right. What? Whatever, dude. Talk about inconvenient. He lost his sight for 3 days. I gained my sight for the rest of my life through my interruption. Because see, I was blind, but now I see. And I don't know which end of this you're on today. If you're the lame person that's reaching out for help. Because see, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I offer you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take up your mat and walk. I don't have any money. And I don't know if you're the one that has Jesus to offer. And you're too consumed with your own routine and your own agenda that you can't even let God interrupt your life to impact someone else's. And a routine's good. A routine is great. But is it all about you? See, going on from there. Verse 21, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And no, God is not telling you to get a divorce and leave your spouse. I'm not going into all that. If you want to twist and manipulate that, nah. But sometimes he tells us that we might have to. This dude left his way of living and his dad, who he was with every day. First of all, to go out and to be himself in Christ and to figure out who he was and to do God's purpose. Because see, I had to cut the string from my dad and figure out who I was in Christ and get my own purpose and my own calling and do my thing. And some of it's right here preaching to you guys. That is some of what God has called me to do. Every Friday night I have the opportunity. See, because when he interrupts us, it's for a purpose. When Jesus said, follow me, to his disciples, it was just the first step into what would become a lifelong involvement or interruption. A lifelong interruption. Some of us in here, we couldn't stand it if God tried to interrupt our life and ask us to do something out of our ordinary. We wouldn't do it. See, you have to make a choice when God says that. You either have to accept or reject. You have two choices. You either have to say yes or no. What are the promises of God? In him and through him there are yes and amen. So he's already said yes to us, hasn't he? Do you know what yes means for me to say yes to God? Yes means that I have to yield myself to be used, to bring this good news to others, which brings us to the E in yes, which is example. I have to be used, I have to yield myself to God to be used, to bring this good news to others by my example and by my word. The S, serve. I have to be willing to serve others. Because see, when God interrupts us, it's for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve other people. We're too scared to serve other people because we're scared we're going to get their mess in our life. We don't want their mess because we got enough of our own mess, don't we? Ride around with me for about 2 days if you want to see a whole bunch of mess. But we still have to make time for other people. Jesus gave all his time for us. See, when we started Celebrate Recovery, I put my name and my phone number on everything that we put out there to promote Celebrate Recovery. We put flyers in laundromats, gas stations. We made like business cards that said Celebrate Recovery and blah, 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 blah. And then it had Jason and my phone number. That was probably a mistake. It was a major inconvenience. And Pastor never told me one time that I would be getting phone calls at 2 a.m. from a guy in a laundromat. A young man in a laundromat. And on our flyers, it said a safe place to be accepted. That's about 6 years ago we did that. So at 2 a.m, because I used to sleep with my phone right by the pillow because I didn't know any better than that either. Because people would call all the time and they needed Christ. So about 2 a.m, my phone rings and it's this guy at the laundromat over here on West Side. And he goes, man, I've never been accepted anywhere. Well, can you tell me about it? And I said, well, what are you doing? He goes, well, right now I'm smoking some ice. And I said, oh, thanks for the honesty. You know? And then we get to talking. And we talk for a while. And this man had never been accepted anywhere in his life. He'd always been a reject, an outcast. So at 2 a.m, he found a flyer in a gas station and called me. You think that was an inconvenience? To answer the phone at 2 a.m? It is. But that man started coming to Celebrate Recovery. And occasionally he'll pop in the back and sit in the corner. Once or twice a year, he still shows up. And he says, man, I don't smoke ice no more. Me and him prayed for him to receive Christ sometime later. Through that interruption, God wants to save souls. God wants to make a difference in a dying and hurting world. Through you. Through your routine, the mundane life that you call routine, that I call routine, every day I get up, I get in the same, I go to the same stop sign, same place. We're surrounded by the same people and we don't even know that they're sitting there and their mama's dying of cancer. We don't even know that they're so far in financial debt, they're fixing to lose everything because we're so scared. We're so scared to let God interrupt that we might get some of their mess on us. See, up until then, these men, for the most part, had spent more hours with fish than they had with people. Now they were not only daring to respond to Jesus' invitation, they were daring to be involved in his mission. See, Jesus took them from the calm, tranquil lake into a frantic sea of hurting people, where there's going to be lots of interruptions of healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and helping the hurting. That is a picture of Celebrate Recovery right here at this church. Feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and helping the hurting. We do that every Friday night, and we have for 6 years. And we're going to continue to. We do that every Sunday morning. See, that's why this is a sanctuary. You'll never hear me call it an auditorium again. Because this week God said, Jason, that's a sanctuary. It is a refuge. It is a safe place where people can come when they're hopeless. Tonight you're sitting in here. You know why? Because you're searching. And God is here. You know why? Because he's trying to interrupt. See, when he interrupts us, it's for a purpose. Acts 3, 2 through 8. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You know, if you have Christ and people come encounter with you, they're expecting something. They expect it. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. There is the purpose. Are you scared to reach down and take them by the right hand and help them up? Man, they ain't washed that. They've been digging through the dumps. They smell. I don't want to get that on me. If I reach down there, it's going to get me involved in their personal life. And then they're going to call me again next week and say they need help. Because we think it's an instant fix when we pray with somebody and everything's better. No, they still have not found a job. They still need a ride to fill out applications. They might even still need a little help with somebody just there to listen to them. See, because what this does is this separates just, I'll pray for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. That's great. Now get a little dirt on our hands and get involved. That breaks the barrier between prayer. It gets us involved. We have to learn to. We have to. So he interrupts for a purpose. Well, you could hear a pin drop, couldn't you? Ting. That was one of my hairs. Wasn't even a pin. Brings us to a miracle. God interrupts our lives for a purpose. That purpose is for his glory. He didn't interrupt my life so I could stand up and say, hey, I've done this and I've done that. See, because Peter and John, Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note. As we get ready to wrap this up today, you don't have to be schooled. You don't have to be educated. The last year that I remember completing in school was 9th. I made it part of 10th. But see, I've been with Jesus. Peter and John had been with Jesus. They were fishermen. Average, everyday working schmoes. Fishermen. So who could they reach? Everybody they came in contact with. Are you willing today to let your life be interrupted? As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard, Acts 4:20 tells us. Today, as they get ready to lead us in worship, I want to ask you about the most important interruption of all. It's called salvation. It's a free gift that God offers to you today. See, because you've got a routine. You've had a routine for years. You even come to church. But you've never came to the cross. You've never came to the cross wholeheartedly and expecting to receive something. See, because when I come to the cross, I know that I'm going to receive. When I came to the cross on September the 22nd of 2006, I expected to receive Jesus Christ. We got a prayer team this morning. This morning I want to ask you simply, is God trying to interrupt your life? You think he's just got them there to buy a car? No. They need an interruption, so do you. But today, have you had that initial interruption? Has he stepped in and flipped your life upside down and showed you a love and a peace that you can't even understand? A peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. Stand with us as we get ready to worship this morning. See, God's knocking this morning for you. He's trying to open that door and interrupt your life. Are you willing to accept that interruption? Today, if that's you and you know that he's trying to, because he's been trying for a while, these people up here can pray with you to receive Christ today. And that's just the beginning of life. Just the very beginning. As we worship, I want you to come. Don't let pride hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. Come as you are.